One of the key events that we did cover, that is one of the landmarks throughout the rest of the celebrations, those offerings and feasts that came out of the law. How do we say we're sorry to God through the different offerings? How do we say thank you, God, through all the feasts? But one of the key feasts of the Old Testament, of Judaism today, and even what has become into the church is Passover. And I'm going to ask Dwight to come forward in preparation for our communion service. How does Passover foreshadow what we celebrate in communion today? So if you have, you can just listen, but this we have what we call applying the Passover principle, which is written on your work map. Just kind of an analogy of the Old Testament Passover through the New Testament Passover. Communion was introduced. Our Lord and Savior instituted communion during the Passover meal. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of read one of five different points for Passover, and I'm going to read a passage out of Exodus for our first Passover, and Dwight will echo with a New Testament scripture. The instruction for the sacrifice was to take a lamb and kill it.
Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
What was the condition of the sacrifice of the Passover lamb? Your lamb shall be without blemish.
The first blood of Christ is a lamb without blemish, without spot.
What was the reason for sacrifice? I will execute judgment, says the Lord.
And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, judgment.
The application of sacrifice? Every man shall take for himself a lamb.
Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
The result of sacrifice? The Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you.
There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Celebration of the last Passover, which Jesus instituted as the first communion. If you wanted to read the story about Joseph, if you had a neighbor that came over and was just all upset about the person across the street and how, you know, he keeps doing this in the yard and his kids come over and it makes me so mad, I just want to do something to them. And you want to encourage them about a story of Joseph who was right, who was wronged, but didn't take out his personal revenge, but offered forgiveness. You wanted to read through with them the story of Joseph, or just make reference to it, but you wanted to point out in the scripture where it was. What book of the Bible would that be in? Genesis, okay. So you open up the book of Genesis, and it says, He confused the people by their languages. Would you turn left or right? You turn right. Okay, and you jump over and you went a little too far, but you had someone, you saw Jacob. You saw the story of Jacob wrestling with the Lord. Keep turning to the right or turn back to the left? To the right, okay. And who would be the next person you'd think? Okay, after we have we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Okay, so we know Joseph's there, and you know where to kind of find a character in the book. Okay, let's put it all together and I'll let you sit down for the end. But this is another way, looking at the big picture. Now, I hope as you memorize and read Scripture, you see where it's located, so you can go, you know, book, chapter, verse, but sometimes it's hard to remember exactly what book was that or what chapter. So I think big story, there's seven clear cycles in the book of Judges that we went through. We said the people walk into the land, they entered the land seeing God's work, they settled it amongst the 12 tribes, and then they began to live in peace. And what so often happens when everything is going well, you say, I'm going to just use the word, things are silent, peaceful. What happens? We just end up going about our own way and we forget about God. And when we forget about God, we tend to slip into sin. Sometimes run into sin. And when we fall into sin, what does God do? He corrects us. He brings us back around. One of that correction is also judgment. So he judges us. And in those times of difficulties and we're feeling the consequences of those sins, the people woke up and said, God, how did I get here? How did I get in this problem? God, help me! And God hears those cries and he helps them, raised up a judge and brought salvation to them in the judge. And then they lived in peace again. Whew. But in that peace, silence, a few years go by, they fall back into sin. God judges that sin. And Book of Judges, through another power coming in that judgment and suffering of the consequences, people call out to God, God, help! God, in His mercy, sends the Savior, another judge, leads them to salvation from the other nations. Everything's peaceful again. Whew. Aren't you glad they learned their lesson? A few years later, everything's quiet and peaceful. They slide back into sin. It's a pattern we see over and over again throughout scriptures. Mm-hmm. It's a pattern we probably see in today's life quite often. I mean, y'all know someone, they never even come to church until they have a real issue in their life. Everything seems to be going all right, and then they have a real problem, something desperate with their children, or at work, or some other relationship. And then they fall. Then what do? They're looking for help. They come. A lot of times they come to church, and they're visiting church for a while. They're very active. Everything gets sorted out. Life gets back to being quiet and peaceful for them again. And what happens? They disappear. You never see them again until another trouble comes. It's, whoa, help! Okay, where do I go for help? I mean, just seeing the nods and knowing the culture and being there, we see that all around us. Okay, but probably even more critical than seeing that around us is, what about in our own lives? I know in my life, the simple matter of prayer, when do I pray the most? Is it when everything seems to be going just fantastic and everything normal? My time of confession? No. It's when I'm having times of difficulty. Quite honestly, a lot of those difficulties I bring on myself. When I'm caught up in my own life, wanting my own way, I sin. And that sin brings consequences. And those consequences tend to wake me up. I think, oh no, God, help, save me. And in His judgment, in His mercy, He responds. He brings me deliverance and salvation, not just for my soul, but in the circumstances. And then everything's all right again. It's like, praise God, you know, back into my Bible reading, back into active participation with my brothers and sisters, sharing. If I look back over the years, that tends to... Is that pattern in your life? And where are you right now? And the challenge I want to give, what would it be like if during these times of peace that we deepen our relationship with God, that we pray just as if we were in those times of trouble and in desperate awareness of our need for Him. We can maintain that level or even increase it as we deepen our relationship with Him on a daily basis, on a daily relationship, not only in prayer and song and Bible reading, but also in community with one another. Would that keep us settled and in that equilibrium of a close relationship with Him? We're not promised a peaceful life and a trouble-free life with God. But He does promise that He'll be there with us during the difficult ones and give us the circumstances for us to endure. But that's a little different than the consequences of sinful behavior. So that's my challenge from the book of Judges, those seven cycles. Opportunity to repent from our sins. Mm-hmm. Let me pray for you right now. Mm-hmm. Father, I do thank You for Your mercy as well as Your judgment, and ask that You, through Your gracious Spirit, both encourage us to walk closer to You as well as convict us. Will Your Spirit convict us of our sins, and through that conviction, drive us to call to You for help and salvation. Because You are a God who hears us, sees us, and responds to Your people. For that, we love You, Father. In Your Son's name, amen.